who can leave our body. They're from other dimensions, they pop in and out.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Truth or Theory podcast. Your hosts, JP and E. Willie.
What's the opposite of sheep that are sleeping? Woke wolves? So that makes us the
woke wolf pack.
Welcome back to Truth or Theory, guys. This is episode number 82.
82.
82. We're getting up there, almost to the big 100.
Yep.
I'm your host, JP.
And I'm your other host, E. Willie. We're almost to episode 84, which is special to me because I was born in 1984. And ironically, it looks like it's going to fall on my birthday, which is the end of this month. So I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to do a weird episode in honor of my weirdness.
We're going to have
can't tell you what it is yet.
Birthday cakes, petting zoo, keg stands. I don't know. It's going to get out of control.
Yeah. We had a fun weekend, man. What have you done so far?
I've been working. I've been calling me in every day.
Oh, yeah.
I went in this morning. It's been a busy one.
Yeah, and you're back in studio, too. You just beat COVID-19.
I did.
You went through a hernia surgery. You had a lot of stuff going on.
Yep.
It's good to have you back.
At the same time, which was a double whammy kick to the double whammies.
It's good to have you back, brother. We my wife and I went and did some hiking yesterday in the Devil's Backbone, and we don't typically get to do a whole lot with our children, without our children, but we have a friend who watched them for us. So it was a lot of fun to get away and just be stupid kids again. Hiking and doing stuff we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of cool snakes. Saw two ravens, a nest of ravens, which was really cool.
Yeah.
My wife did not let me climb up to go see the nest. She kept yelling at me every time I tried to climb. But yeah, we got to record them flying right above us and going in their nest in and out. It was really cool to see that.
That is cool.
A lot of fun. Got to take the shirt off and get some sun on my white body because I'm turning into a snowman. I call it the North Dakota bleach, man. Ever since I left North Dakota, I haven't been able to get any color on my skin.
Yeah, time to get back out in the sun.
Yeah, I'm still so white, though. It doesn't even look like I got sun yesterday.
Yesterday was a beautiful day, too. It was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Hot day.
It was pretty.
Yep.
Found the first snake of the year yesterday for me in Colorado. It was a prairie rattlesnake, which ironically was the first snake I found when I moved to Colorado. It was a prairie rattlesnake at the Devil's Backbone, so full circle.
That's not the same one.
No, not the same one, but it was bigger, but... It was cool. It was a good time. So anyway, let's get to cheers to good news. Today is a special day. It's going to be coming out several days after we're recording, but today is Mother's Day.
Today is Mother's
Day. So I believe we're both cheering to the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Cheers to our mothers, brother.
Yes.
Your mother, my mother. Love you, Mom. Thank you all for everything you've done for us.
Yep.
Thank you to my wife, who mothers our children. She does more than I can ever even comprehend. It's great to have the women who taking care of the young.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, enough of all that mushy bullshit. Let's get to our guest. Today, we're diving back into Anunnaki-type stuff. And, man, this stuff is heavy. It's intense, but our listeners love it. It goes over my head sometimes, but I'm trying my best to keep up. I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar, so I can't even say the sayings right, but we're going to try. Please welcome to our show our guest on this episode, number 82. It is... Sergio, Halabi. I tripped, man. I'm sorry. Sergio Halabi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm very good. And let me wish you a happy early birthday since I won't be here
for
for the other episode. Actually, you got my name correctly, Halabi. And basically, I'm a podcaster as well. I host the Paradigm Shift podcast, and it's a podcast where I talk about anything related to spirituality, philosophy, and ancient history. I believe that we have been lied to for generation on generation about how we started, where everything started for mankind, and basically the power that we actually have versus what we've been told we have. To kind of like just give you a brief summary about myself, I am a Christian Catholic. Basically, I grew up in a Catholic home and a Catholic school and environment and everything like that. And on top of everything that I was taught, my mom studied theology. So you can also call me a secondhand theologist, because she would come home and she would teach me everything she knew about the Bible and Christianity. That's awesome. And everything like that. Yeah. So I have a very strong background when it comes to that. Plus, I am Arab, so reading the Bible and the Quran and other stuff in Arabic really puts a very different spin to a lot of things. Like, I noticed there's so many different words, pronunciation and everything from the ancient Sumerian and, you know, Hebrew and Akkadian to Arabic as we have. And there's a lot of stuff that have evolved. That so that has also helped me kind of shape a specific, you know, opinion and study towards certain things. And given my background when it comes to Christianity in specific and the Old Testament, and of course we all know Adam and Eve and the story of creation and the flood and how everything came to be, a couple of years ago I was introduced by a mistake, by a calling, I don't know, but I was introduced to the entirety of the Sumerian mythology. And Sumerian mythology is the first civilization of mankind. This is in Mesopotamia, which is today is modern day Iraq. And it basically is the first tale of how mankind came to be, right? And once I started reading about that mythology and compare it to different types of, like, when it comes to Egyptian mythology, Greek, Roman, and everything like that, Sumerian mythology stood out to me because the more I read it, the more it felt like I have read it before. And it turned out it was so similar to Judaism and to the entirety of the Abrahamic religion. And that's what kind of, like, it opened my eyes to a whole new world that I didn't even know existed, which surprisingly was kind of kept from us. You know what I mean? Like, in school, we studied all of the mythologies and we had to, like, memorize the name of the gods of Egypt and Ra and Thoth and all these gods. But for some reason, they kind of skipped over the most important start of mankind, right? Like it should have been the first thing we study, and they decided not to teach it and to kind of hide it. And you also see that even in mainstream media, there isn't enough movies done about this stuff. Like, the mythology is so rich and there's so much to go over. And you kind of wonder, why is this always skipped over? Why is it glossed over in the way it is? And the more you delve into it, the more you realize that, okay, I think I know why. It's kind of like the start of the entirety of the Abrahamic religion. It reshapes everything we know about God, who he is, what he is. And it kind of, like, open your mind to a whole new wave of information, basically. And I don't know how much your listeners know about the Anunnaki and who they are and what they've done. So I'm just going to kind of, like, go over some fast stuff just to kind of, like, get the ball moving, because I want to get into some details. But basically,
hey, before you do that, I got two things. Tell me. You're broadcasting from another side of the world right now too, aren't you? What country are you
in? Yes, I am in Bahrain right now, which is a small island on the Arab Gulf. So I'm in a completely different. And I found recently that Bahrain is also home to one of the Anunnaki temples as well, which is Enki. I was shocked to see that. So the spread from Mesopotamia was all over the Middle East and North Africa and this entire region. So it's really amazing to see and to be here for that.
Yeah, it's amazing that we have this connection, this clear, and we can hear you and you're on the other side of Earth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wild, man. It's noon at our time and nighttime for you.
Yes, really crazy. Exactly.
From one logo designer to whoever did your logo, man, I love your podcast.
Mine.
You did it?
I'm also a designer, so beautiful. Yeah. I do all my artwork and everything.
Yeah, I love it, man.
And it was funny because when you were talking at the start, you mentioned that you found a nest of ravens and everything. And yes. I just wanted to add that I also own a coffee shop here in this country. I called it the Raven's Nest. And so crazy, I think we have a lot of common.
Yeah, that's so wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, man, you did a great job with that logo. It looks perfect, in my opinion.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good deal, man. All right, dive back into what you're talking about.
Yeah, so basically, it's So the mythology of the Anunnaki and the creation of mankind revolves around this idea that beings from outside of Earth came down to Earth. And that is, the, by the way, the literal translation of the word Anunnaki. So Anunnaki, it's divided into three words, which is Anu, which is the god of like the reigning god of everything. And he is, Anu is the name of the supreme god. Mm-hmm. And then you have Ki, which is a reference to Earth. And the word Anunnaki means those who from the heaven, from the supreme, came down to Earth. And if that alone, that name would give you an idea how a simple mind of like when we talk 10,000 years ago would not have too much of a vocabulary to explain what they're looking at. So if they see something come down from heaven to earth, they would call it the descendant from the heavens to earth. So they're very literal in their translation. Even the names of the two supreme, like the most important two deities of the Anunnaki are called Enki and Enlil. And Enki and Enlil are not their original name. They are their, basically their positions, what they are in terms of the hierarchy. And En means Lord of, and for Enlil, Il is the heaven, so the skies. So one of them was the Lord of the skies, and Enki, Ki being Earth, was the Lord of Earth. And the two were brothers, and each one had a specific job to do when they came down to Earth. There's a lot of theories as to why they came to Earth, but there isn't any concrete evidence as to what they were doing here. The story goes that they were here for nearly 300,000 years, and the entirety of the pantheon was working for 300,000 years, working overtime, and they got so tired and they so fed up that they kind of rebelled, and they came to the doorstep of Enlil and basically told him, we can no longer do this anymore. We are tired, we can no longer work. We need a solution. And that's when the elders of these gods got together and decided to, based on Enki's work within Earth and what he knows about it, that they would take one of the species that is on Earth, Homo sapiens, basically, and would infuse them with their own DNA. And whatever comes out from that, they would teach that creature to kind of work within the garden and do the gathering of the resources that those gods were doing that they no longer want to do. So that happened, and that the goddess, she worked with Enki on this, and up came modern man, which is known as Adam. And Adam is also, in terms in the original language of the cuneiform, which is Sumerian, he was referred to as Adapa. Adam is Adapa, and Adapa is an animal, actually. It's the name of an animal. So they would see them as animals who they gave them a little bit of more DNA, and they kind of pushed them in the right direction, and up came this creature who can do the job now for them. So Enki, because it was his creation, he kind of like grew fond of them. And now when I'm talking, you're going to start to connect to what the Abrahamic religion tells us. And one time he was walking in the garden where Adapa, which is Adam, and others were working. And he kind of like told him, how about if you kind of eat from the fruit that I'm going to give you right now? And he did that. And Adapa kind of basically became more aware, became self-aware, and not only became self-aware, he kind of grew, or he had this thing happening within body where he can now reproduce and give birth to a child, because that was a big no-no when it comes to the Anunnaki. And when the brother of Enki found out about this, he was really, really angry, because he did not want this to happen at all. And he kind of cast Adam out of the garden. And basically we fell out of his favor, and we left that garden of Eden, and we started roaming the earth. That story of the creation, when mirrored with the Abrahamic story of religion and in the Old Testament and the Torah, you see that how few words were changed, and we have the story of Adam and Eve and how they ate from the forbidden fruit of the tree. And it was God who at first told them to kind of like work within the garden. Then he was angry at them for what they did and cast them out. And so on within the entirety of the Old Testament, we start seeing comparison between the two stories. For example, there's the story of the flood, of when Noah was told that you need to build an ark and save all of mankind and save humanity within your family, basically, and all of the animals on earth. We see the same thing happening in the Anunnaki mythology. So, for example, I'm going to read to you a very small paragraph. This is from the Old Testament, where it says that now that the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence, God saw how corrupt the earth had become for all the earth, and he said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and I want you to make yourself an ark. Make rooms in it, coat it with pitch, and it has to be 300 size and all that and all that, okay? And I have here the translation from the mythology of Mesopotamia, from the cuneiform tablets. And it says that instead of the name of Noah, there was another man, his name is Atrahasis. And this is what Enki, the same God who helped mankind when it came to the creation and gave them power, he told him, Atrahasis made his voice heard and spoke to his master, indicate to me the meaning of the dream, because Enki had. And Enki spoke to his servant. He said, I should find out a bed. Make sure you attend the message I tell you. Wall, listen to me constantly. Read your hut. Make sure you attend to all my words. Dismantle the house. Build a boat, reject possessions, and save living things. The boat that you build will have a roof like this, and the sun cannot enter it, and so on and so on. And even the man, Atrahasis, he even, when he heard this story in his bed, when he was sleeping, the elders, the other people who were living at the time, were making fun of him, just like how in the Old Testament. And he told them that my God, which is Enki, my God is out of favor with your God being Enlil. And he said, they have become angry with each other and they have driven me out of my house since I always stand in awe of Enki. So basically, these two stories, among many, many others, show that unlike the Old Testament of the Bible and unlike this one God who seems to make a decision and then change his mind and then make another decision and then say, okay, I'm going to wipe out all of humanity because they have grown so much, and then goes to Noah and say, but I like you most and I'm going to save you. The Mesopotamian story tells us there were two different entities at work, and one of them was fond of mankind, the other was not at all. And before I continue with the stories and comparison and how we can look at them, there is something that not a lot of people talk about, but something that I've noticed when it comes to man, today's man, which what we call post-Adam man. And we've been told that we are Homo sapiens, that we've evolved over millions and millions of years, and we have different ancestors, Homo erectus and the Neanderthals and so on. And the Homo sapiens were the only ones who kind of made it through and everything. However, I would like to raise a question about us, how we evolved on this planet and how differently as a species we've evolved. And it doesn't really make sense. So mankind or current man, okay, which have come to exist as per the latest archaeological finds and everything, around 280,000 years ago. This is when we kind of first see the first Homo sapien that we have today. And while we, while we have shed all our hair, everything has fallen because we don't really need it anymore. The only thing that we have not shed is our hair, which is on the head, and our beard. especially for men, right? Mm-hmm. And if you think about it from an evolutionary standpoint, we have what we're being told is that we have evolved in a way that our hair, which is our head, keeps growing uncontrollably and without end unless we use a tool to cut it, right? Yes. And there is no need for any evolutionary benefit for this to happen, for this to keep growing, unless at some point we have been manipulated on a DNA level to do this. Because if you look at animals today, the only other animal that shares that with us into the idea of uncontrollable hair is a sheep. And sheep, in the wild, they don't grow that hair. The only domesticated sheep, they do this, and we need to cut their hair because we have manipulated them enough so that we grow, right?
Wow.
Same thing for the...
Together. Wow.
Yeah, so imagine that from an evolutionary, why would any animal evolve in a way that you need a tool that you haven't created, that the tool outside of yourself to kind of cut your hair or even cut your nails, by the way. Yeah. And when we look at any depiction of the Anunnaki, any sort of drawing or carving, or we see that they look always with the same way, which is long hair and long beards. This is a sort of like a thing that differentiates them from different entities or gods or aliens or whatever. So we share this with them on some level, and at some point we have been manipulated. Wow. This is from a pure biological thing.
That makes so much sense. That really does.
Right? Wow. And even the idea that what history tells us, not religion, what history tells us is that around 10,000 years ago is when the first civilization came to being, right? So before that, we were hunter-gatherers. We were living in caves. Men used to go out and hunt, and women used to stay behind with the tribe, and they would just simply, you know, gather fruits, raise the children, and create that. And then what the historians come and say that overnight, something happened where we suddenly decided to build monuments that last several thousand years, that we have mastered agriculture, we have mastered domestication of animals, building, architecture, math, language, society rules, and everything. And it just happened just like that. Again, it doesn't fit in any logic, because how can that happen so fast? How is it that up to 10,000 years ago, we were living in caves, and then suddenly we completely shifted into a new gear?
That's the passing of the pine cone and the handbag that you're referring to.
Exactly. The handbag and the pine cone, which is found in every single depiction of any ancient gods in civilizations that have never even met each other. They couldn't possibly know each other. And everywhere you look at, from Mesopotamia to Mesoamerica, Mexicans to India to any kind of like major part of the world where it held any religion, you see a deity, you see a god sitting with a pine cone in one hand and a handbag in another hand. Mm-hmm. And that's the, and by the way, when it comes to the pine cone, which you brought up, some of the misconceptions that we have kind of like accepted over the years, which don't really also are not factually correct. We always think when we talk about Adam and Eve and we say that, oh, what is the forbidden fruit? Like if I ask you, what's the forbidden fruit that Adam ate?
It'd be an apple.
Mm. Now, the apple is mentioned nowhere. There's nowhere in the Bible or in the Quran or in the Torah that says we ate an apple. It says we ate the fruit. That's it, the fruit. Don't even know what it is.
Oh, damn, that's crazy.
Another
kind of pop culture made that be an apple?
Yes. It's a pure, pure pop culture thing. And the funny part is that it's there's even two trees that we were not supposed to eat. It wasn't one. So there is one which is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge, which is what Adam and Eve ate from and became self-aware. So they gained knowledge. The other tree is the tree of life, which gives you immortality. And in the book of Genesis, okay, it says, and I will read it. It says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, one of us. He didn't say he became like me, like one of us, indicating there's more than one, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work on the ground and so on and so on. So there's even that. Another misconception, which should be really, really big, is that the devil and Satan is not mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament. Even the serpent that supposedly came and told Adam and Eve to eat from the tree is referred to as the serpent. It was never referred to as the devil. It's only when the New Testament of Christianity came along with Jesus, that's when we first heard of the devil, which begs the question, which begs the question, why such an important entity as the devil, which is at the root of the entirety of the religion, is don't do something bad or the devil will take you to hell, and all bad stuff come from the devil, is not mentioned anywhere for nearly 4,000 years of religion, and only mentioned by name when the New Testament came. And there's even a theory about that, because it says that the serpent came and told them. And if for one second we want to entertain the idea that these were, that Enki, for example, was an ancient astronaut, an ancient alien, and he would shapeshift, he would look like a reptile, for example. So he would be referred to at the time, oh, he came the serpent. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the references of the words change.
And it's very interesting that it was a serpent, because like Matt was saying, that the serpent represented knowledge. There's the serpent and the eagle, and the serpent is the knowledge. So he kind of whispered in his ear, hey, that's the smart tree.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Take a bite.
Yes, exactly. Because anywhere when it comes to, for example, medicine or any symbol of knowledge, it's the serpent. Mm-hmm. And any symbol of like dominion, it would be or like who won or whatever, would be the eagle. The eagle is always the sign, and the eagle was also like one of the names of Enlil, okay? And basically the gathering all these evidences and rereading the Bible and in the light of whatever the mythology of Mesopotamia tells us, paints this picture that what in fact happened was a big falling between the Anunnaki gods. Once mankind was created, and this was considered like a breach of all the codes, basically. Like the agreement was never to interfere with any species on Earth. It was to come to Earth and gather the resources and then leave. And that created a breach between them. And there were wars that happened for thousands and thousands of years. And it was between Enki on one side, who is like the defender of mankind, and he loves his creation and stuff like that, and Enlil, who wanted to destroy them at every turn. And connecting that with the Bible, there's the story, for example, of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you familiar with it?
No, I've never heard those names.
So Sodom and Gomorrah are two cities that in the Bible, they say that they were full of sin, and God grew very tired of them because people were sinning and they were loud and they were no longer worshiping him and so on. And he decided to destroy them. But again, he came to one of the prophets of the time, his name was Lot, and told him, I'm going to destroy those cities. So you and your family leave that city and don't look back. And I will read the part of the Bible where it says, by the time Lot, the prophet, reached that area, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out in the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, if we look at it from religious symbolic thing, we think, okay, so God kind of like decided to destroy those cities, right? Everything's okay. But if we look at it from, let's say this is an advanced alien civilization and it's Enlil and he wants to destroy the city of man, where Enki is residing right now, this, the burning sulfur and the destruction sound like, along with whatever outcome it gave, it sounds like almost like a nuclear war. It sounds like rockets were actually used. So when you talk about how the vegetation died in the land, that's because it became radiated. And the theory is that it actually, the area of those cities is now where Jordan is. And Jordan is on the side of what is known as the Dead Sea. Now the Dead Sea is highly radiated now and doesn't have life in it. Like nothing, even on a microscopic level. So even if you want to take that information and place it where we could be right now, it still applies that whatever happened during that time, it indicates a much more advanced type of weaponry or advanced type of civilization than what we think it is, because we kind of all made peace with the idea that, well, everything in the Bible is symbolic and doesn't really make sense, when in fact, it's not true. Another, for example, example of how the people of the time won't know how to explain certain things is there's a book also, it's called the Book of Kings, and this is part of the Old Testament. And there's this prophet, his name is Elijah. And as per the story, Elijah was raised into heaven. This is how he basically, you know, finished his mission on earth, and he was raised into heaven. And this is what it says. It says, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and she said, my father, the chariot of Israel. So we think, okay, so this is a chariot of fire that suddenly appeared and it sucked a man into heaven. Now take that story and compare it to what we hear now about alien abduction. Yeah. It's literally the same. Yeah. It's something that they won't understand. If they see a spaceship, they literally don't know what to name it. They have no words for it. So he would name it as the closest thing he would know. So he would see that it has the fire in it or the lights. So he would see, okay, so it's made of fire. And he will call it a chariot because that's all he knows. And he will see that whatever who was with him kind of was taken up to the heaven, when in fact, so many people right now, when they share their own information about alien abductions, they say that we were literally saw a light and we were taken up to the skies, right? So you start to see how these stories, if we simply just turn them a little bit and add a few words of our understanding today, it paints an entire different picture. It actually makes a lot more sense. Then just it just it also like creates this story that I recently it came about, which is how we refer to God as a male figure, right? So even though a lot of people say no, God is neither male or nor female or anything like that, but the truth of it is that we don't say it's a goddess, we say it's a god, right? And when we refer as to him. We even give him a lot of masculine traits, which is, this is someone who has a plan, someone who is strict and all that. And that opposes what mankind, prior to the rise of civilization, and when mankind was in the hunter and gatherer societies, they actually worshipped a goddess. They did not worship a god. It was the female figure was so important to them that the first ever statue, this is the first form of art created ever. She's called Venus of Willendorf. And she's this high, she's like 11 centimeter high, because at the time they were nomads. So hunter-gatherer societies, they weren't in one location. They used to travel from one location to another. So they didn't build these giant monoliths. They built her, and she represented fertility and life and nurturing and everything that a goddess would, and anything that a feminine fight in time. And it gave place to the rise of a male god, a more strict god, a more patriarchal god. Even in religion today, you have a very patriarchal religion, because women cannot be priests. There are no female prophets ever in history. There are no, so everything that kind of came from that one male God, which is called Yahweh or Allah or Enlil and so on and so on.
That's wild. That makes a lot of sense. I can't believe you said it like that. That when you really think about stories and stuff and put it in modern times of what you know, it makes so much more sense.
Yeah, it makes me want to go back and read more of the Bible and try to have that perspective on it, because, man, that changes so much. Sergio, English is not your first language, right?
No, it's actually my third language. Jesus. So,
man,
yeah,
so
it's Arabic, French. good. Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Incredible. I'm just blown away how good you can speak. And it's not even your native language. It's so impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. One thing about, since you brought up the language topic, is that given that I am Arab, there's a lot of words that differ when it comes to Arabic. And it makes a lot more sense when you add to them the mythology of Mesopotamia. Now, what we have come to know as the God who wants to destroy mankind, basically, his name is Enlil. And Western societies, or in the language, it's called as Enlil. But in fact, it's Enlil with an emphasis on the il. And the reason for that is that you can see his presence and his influence throughout the Bible without actually knowing how it's there. So for example, all the angels that have been known to be messengers of the gods, and when we talk about like Gabriel or the archangel Gabriel or Michelangelo or even Satan, who was known as Azrael, okay, the original pronunciation is not like that. So the original pronunciation, so for Gabriel, his name is Jibrail, il, as Enlil. And Michelangelo, his name is Michael. And Azrael, his name is Azrael. Okay? Wow. And to even add to that, is that the promised land of the Jews, which is known as Israel right now, right? So God in the Old Testament basically took his people out of Egypt and told them, I'm going to take you to the promised land, which is Israel right now. Okay? That's the Jewish doctrine. And the word Israel is actually two words in Arabic, and it's Israel. And il, referring to Enlil, Isra means victory of in Arabic, which means that the land that he said, this is your land, is actually called victory of il, which is victory of Elil and Enlil, same God. Yeah. So even the names that we have in those in the Bible show that he was sort of the one who's always present in every big event of mankind. And till now, we kind of see till now the influence he has, and among other things. So that's another thing to add for the language.
A very ignorant question to ask you.
Tell me.
So these like entities and stuff, are they gone now? Did they pass over time, or are they unpassable? Are they still alive?
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, within the if we want to entertain that idea that these entities came to Earth, we also have to entertain the idea that other entities came to Earth as well. Mm-hmm. So there were entities before them, there came entities after them. This is known throughout all of the circles of people who research and everything like that. And the Anunnaki stand out because they were the only ones who kind of influenced Earth in the way that they did. Because every other civilization that had any sort of influence, they would kind of like do it on the low, like quiet side. Anunnaki are the only ones who kind of like literally merged their DNA and you know, gave birth to mankind as we know today. Different entities exist today and existed at the time, but we have to understand that not all entities like that are physical as we think they are. So when we talk, like, let's say aliens, okay, we always think, oh, alien, it would be the same, you know, physical traits as a human. So I can see him, I can touch him, I can, like, just like when we talk about like the Greys, which are all the alien abduction stories about them, how they look like, big heads and everything. These are physical beings, right? But you have other non-physical and more spiritual influential beings that are available right now. So you have like the Anunnaki, you have Pleiadians, you have Draconians, and the Greys, and you have so on and so on. And each entity plays a different role. Now, today, it feels like we're living under a sort of like more of control, and there's a kind of like trying to hide certain truth that doesn't really apply with the Anunnaki way of doing things. Because at the end of the day, the Anunnaki were walking among the people. They were shown themselves. They were not hiding. There are tablets about them. There are stories and there are books and stuff. So it's not within their MO, right, to kind of hide the fact that they are here. But what's happening is that the theory is that there's a different type of entity on Earth right now that is blocking this kind of information. Like, there's a saying that mankind is a species with amnesia, that we don't really know our history. We don't really know where we came from. And that information is being kept from us, you know, but that's not an Anunnaki style. So we know that there was a lot of wars that happened. We know some of the Anunnaki went back to their own home planets, and others stayed and so on. But the influence is no longer just them. There are other beings at play right now. And not all are hostile, by the way. So when I mentioned the Pleiadians are known to be entities that come from the Taurus, the Sirius constellation. They're known as the seven stars. And the seven stars are also shown in a lot of ancient drawings and stuff like that. And they kind of have more of a sort of like empathy towards mankind, and they want to help mankind awaken and understand the truth and know where we came from and so on and so on. So there's different things at play.
That's interesting. I watched this documentary not too long ago about the Tall Whites, and they have a star close to us, and they come pretty frequently, and they know a lot of how to do space travel, and they give us little hints. But yes, ultimately they just say, look, you guys are not ready. You're not ready to be in this type of thing. Like, you guys fight, you're greedy. Like, you just can't, you got to stay on your planet for now.
I wouldn't be surprised, because even when you talk about interstellar travel and all that, like, we know that given how big space is, that there is no way to travel within the laws of physics that we know. It just won't happen ever, no matter what kind of technology we achieve. So we are talking about a sort of travel that transcends the physical world, whether it was astral, quantum, whatever. It's these beings would actually use that, like, is because most scientists and, you know, astronomers and everything today, they were like, they would say that there is no possibility that alien life would come on Earth because we have not developed that technology, and the technology cannot exist. But the reality is that they don't use that, the technology that we use. They don't use that that physical thing that we think it is. It's a much deeper form of travel. And
In your opinion, Sergio, what do you think the reason for the Anunnaki mixing themselves with us? Why do you think they did that? You think it was just like an experiment, like, to see what we would do with it?
I have thoughts on that. I want to hear your thoughts, but I want to hear both of you guys' thoughts on it as well. I want to hear your side.
I mean, honestly, I don't think they even care that much. Like, how much do we care when we took a wolf and we turned him into a pug a couple of 100 years later? Like, how much do we really care? It's just for fun. It's just to see what we can achieve. We don't really have, like, even when we think about Enki, for example, as a sort of like who helped mankind, it's not that he did it because he loves us. It's because, oh, let's see how far I can take this. You know, it's a science project. They're so advanced it's like animals. It's like animals. Just like, what can we do? And we'll just have them work for us. Just like now, how we have domesticated all animals, like cows, for example, when we put them in these large farms and we kind of milk them and we do this, how bad do we feel about it? We don't really care. right? To us, it's
become numb to it.
And see, exactly. That's almost my thoughts on it. Like you said, like Enki, he was of the earth, and I picture us basically as like his dog. You know, it's man's best friend. You have a dog. Like, hey, what if I could make my dog talk and, you know, do things for me? You know,
exactly.
So that he can talk and be smarter and stand on 2 feet and, you know, do his thing.
That's interesting.
And then it got out of control, and he was just like, meh, you know,
stupid dog.
It's not worth it, basically. It's not worth it, or whatever.
Doing this and look what I did, but whatever. They don't have any perception of time, right? They can come and go as they please, dimensional. It's just like, if they forget definitely about the world for millions of years and come back and it's all wiped out, because we're our own worst enemy, and I think that we are going to wipe ourselves out eventually.
Well, I mean, we have kind of been, if we want to talk about them, and we have been infused with their DNA and comes to fighting and how divided we are as mankind and everything. And obviously religion plays a big role in this division, and everyone wants to keep saying how different we are, when in fact we're all literally the same when it comes to our ideology and doctrines and whatever. But the Anunnaki, actually, they mastered space travel much more than time. So other entities have more, like the Pleiadians, for example, which are the tall whites that you are referring to, they don't work within our time. Because time is a four-dimensional construct that Earth and the physical construct we're in, it works with time. But other entities and other beings can witness an entire existence, an entire life in 1 second. Like just look at you. And this is actually even like mentioned by people who experience or like they die and they go through a near-death experience. I don't know if you've heard about like what people talk about when they go through something like this. There was this woman, for example, she said that she knew a girl from school, and that girl died when they were in school. Something happened. She was in a car accident and she died. And she said, 20, 25 years later, when I almost died, and actually when I died for a few minutes and I got my near-death experience, I saw her, but she didn't have a physical form. And when they asked her, like, okay, so when you saw her, was she 7 years old? Like, was she in that age? She was like, no, I actually can't really explain it, but it was more like I saw the entirety of her life in one being.
Wow.
Like I just knew that it was her, and I knew everything about her, like from the moment she was born until the moment she died. It was in one shape. She can't really explain it, right? Yeah. So when we, as limited as we are right now, when we break from this three-dimensional world, we get to have a taste of what it's like to not work with time or space or like that.
Right. Damn, that's crazy. That is interesting. That's also very hopeful, because I mean, nobody really knows what happens when you die. Nobody knows. So I mean, if that's how it goes, then hey, that's best case scenario. I hope for that.
I just want to fly when I'm dead.
do you believe in any form of afterlife?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like I've heard a lot of stories on incarnation and this and that. And I've even heard stories where a child was, or an adult was murdered at one point. He came back as a child and pointed out his murder and found his own body.
Oh
like,
my
that's
God.
Me. Like, I found murder. Like that guy killed me. And there's where my body is. And it was legit. They found it and they found him.
Yeah.
And that's, it's wild. Like, wow, how that's unexplainable. I've always,
I think there's a lot of the, like, so many stories that it's kind of difficult to ignore these stories. Like, yeah. Like mm-hmm. There's so many things that, you're saying.
I'm just saying, I always grew up believing that we go to the afterlife, and basically, it, like the cheesy, we're in heaven, we're waiting for everyone else, and there's no violence, there's no hunger, any of that kind of stuff. We're just floating around like little cool spirits.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see grandma. Yay.
I mean, it is interesting to think that all civilization and all religions throughout history all talk about an afterlife, all talk about a specific thing that happens when we die. Like, it's kind of, to me, it's unacceptable to think that you completely disappear, because even on a physical level, the energy doesn't just go away, right? Like, this is literally like energy transforms. It doesn't go away. So even if we want to take it there, right? So that alone should show that there is something else. whatever it's going to be, whether it's reincarnation, whether it's coming back, whether it's traveling to another plane, but it's there. And I think this is the, like, to me, this is the motivation behind going through all these studies and all these kind of like breaking the norms of religion or, and whatever, because it feels like mankind, at some point, we are much more powerful than we think we are. We are much more capable of what we can. But we have been pressured and convinced, indoctrinated even, into thinking that we are incapable of doing anything, that we are weak. And this is the basis even of the Abrahamic religion, that you are sinful, you are weak, you seek violence and you seek perversion and sexual thoughts, and all this is bad. And the only way for you to get better is to go back to God and pray and do that. And this feels so oppressive to me, right? Like once you kind of try to understand where the Abrahamic religion came from versus, for example, let's say the Buddhist religion that talks about the whole universe is within you and you can do whatever you want if you set your mind to it. And even, by the way, like, side note, that even Jesus, like, what he was saying opposes a lot of the Christian doctrine that we know today. Like, at no point did Jesus come and say, I am God, worship me and make a religion in my name. All he was saying the whole time was, you are more powerful than you think. Why are you surprised when I do something? You can do it. All you have to do is believe. You can walk on water. You can move mountains. You can heal each other. You can love each other. And this actually empowers mankind. But every form of religion that exists is taking that power away from them. Is saying, no, you cannot do something. You are not powerful. You are weak. And so on. So, yeah.
It's very interesting that you put it like that. And I think of it the same way. It's kind of a, like when you hear, like, you know, don't say my name in vain, don't do this, don't do that. And it's just like, but also at the same time, they're like, if you ever meet God, he's the most understanding, best exactly. person in the entire, you know, in ever to exactly. exist. And it's like, well, then how come if I do this, he's going to smite yes. me and send me to hell? You know, I don't yes. understand that. That's a very good
point. Exactly.
I think if you're a good person, you're a good person. Like, you're just a good person. It's, I mean, people mess up, people.
That's
do
something
they do.
That's something I've always thought too. Not always, but I picked up as a young adult that the idea of hell, the way it's made out, I just don't believe that people who have done bad things like are going to go to hell and burn eternally. That just sounds.
Yeah.
The God that I think of that created us, if I have more compassion than the God that created me, that makes no sense, because there's no way I would exactly. send anyone to burn internally. That's insanely
evil people in the world, though.
I know, but I feel like. You know, if you do something wrong when you're a kid and you have to own up to it, whether it be your parent or whoever's watching you, whatever, that feeling is so, like, demoralizing. You tail between your legs, you got whipped, like, you feel disappointing and, like, you failed. Like, imagine that, like, going to the creator of everything, like, you have to face what you've done. That would be yeah. so, that would be hell. That would be horrible. And whatever punishment he would have for you could be, it could be like, I don't know how to explain what I'm saying, but I just don't see the guy that the creator that made me would have less compassion than I do. And I have very little compassion. I still wouldn't send somebody to burn for eternity.
And the thing is, you said that, for example, that there are evil people, right? But nothing is black and white in the world, right? There's so many gray areas. There's everyone who is even the most sadistic serial killer or whatever, like, you can see how he became like this. Like, once these studies were made and once they delved into minds of people, forgot their name, something, but they were like tortured and abused and hit and changed into these, right? Yeah. And if we as like you said, like, if we are we are becoming more compassionate than the God or the creator of all there is, then there's something wrong. If we can understand that someone is evil because he suffered so much, because even when we talk, even terrorists, these people have been indoctrinated into thinking like this. They have lost everything. They have been filled with hate and fear and rage and all that. When you look at the most evil people who has ever walked the earth and you look back at their life, you see why they became like this. Yes, okay, we won't all be like this, but There's a reason. So we are judging now them in that way. And God is saying, well, I don't care. You're still going to hell. It doesn't apply. It doesn't apply with the all compassionate, omnipresent, loving, forgiving God that we've been told that he is.
Yeah. Or even a possibility of a mental illness, chemical imbalance.
Exactly. Like yes.
Like yeah, brain damage.
Sometimes your brain is weird.
Another aspect of that too is if you think about like the most painful experience you've ever had in your life physically, like it hurts like hell and it's just like, holy shit, this hurts. I wish it would stop. That seems like it lasts a long time. If you were to get like a dose of that, just to answer for what you've done, it would feel like eternity. Like it could be
yes,
like how the other stuff is interpreted. It could not be an actual time thing. It could just be.
Right.
I don't know how to explain what I'm saying. I think y'all get what I'm saying.
Pay your dues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. It just like it feels that especially the Abrahamic God, it feels like he's petty and judgmental and insecure. And right. He's like, you know, pray for me and don't pray to other gods. And the more you pray, the more you're gonna get into heaven. And it's like that does not work. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's so weird to think like, if I don't need someone to pray for me, how is it the God of exactly. It doesn't, you know, there is a contradiction within the doctrine itself, which is on one side, you're telling me God is all powerful, omnipresent, all loving, caring. And on the other side, you're telling me if I don't pray for him, he's going to get sad and mad at me and send me if I don't go to her. Very insecure, exactly, which actually applies more to an entity or an alien, you know, who would have issues and insecurities and wanting to become God versus an the creator of the entire universe, you know. So
but I would like to say, pertaining to this conversation and to our listeners, if praying and things like that do get you through some tough times and it makes you a better person for what you do, I mean, do what you do.
Yeah, if it works for
definitely
you,
definitely not judging anybody. It's just our opinions, and it's
if it works
for you and it helps you through life. Then do it. Pray and do your thing.
Yeah, we have a wide variety of listeners.
Yeah,
yeah.
If it's healthy, then be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I personally don't even have an issue with people who are praying. It's not about the act itself, because any form of you know, you sitting down and praying or meditating or doing whatever you need to calm down, this helps, then all good for it. It's just the fear. I have an issue with being afraid of this God, you know what I mean? He's watching you and he's judging. This is where I start to feel like I don't think that's the relationship I would want with my creator. With the creator.
You're the first person I've ever talked to you about this that I feel like I'm on the same page with you. I think very similar to what you do with this. It's very interesting. I like to pick your brain more. Definitely want to have you back on the show eventually, because I'm going to have more questions for you too.
Definitely.
You've opened our eyes to a lot of similarities between.
Thank Bible you. And thank Anunnaki you. Yeah. Same for me.
And the hair thing is still blowing my mind. Like, I got Anunnaki in me, bro.
Exactly. I got a little bit more. Exactly. I'm a tall white.
They were taller. So, yes, whoever is taller has more Anunnaki in them.
It makes me so happy. This is honestly one of my favorite topics. So, it's fun.
Yeah. As long as it gets people questioning, like as long as it makes people raise a question, that's all there is for me. Like that's it. That's good.
Yeah,
for me.
I'm sure you can do that to a lot of the listeners on this episode. They're going to be like, whoa, I got to look into that. That's crazy.
I hope everybody dives into researches.
Yeah. And we're not, like JP said too, we're not attacking any of your beliefs. We're just putting it on the table and dissecting it. We're all trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But
I think that we should wrap this episode up with that. I think that's a lot of really good stuff. I want to have you back on soon. We'll jump into the questions next, and we'll do it again, man, because there's a lot of stuff to go into with you.
Yeah, I do have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
they never end, by the way. This topic is just like ongoing. It's ongoing. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. You ready for the six questions?
I am ready.
Let's do it. Number one, if you could have the power to create any law, which law would you create?
So something that doesn't exist right now, or if I like, I keep one or completely create something
any
new.
Any law you'd like. You have to pet a dog every day, whatever you want. It could be anything.
Yeah. Preferably one that doesn't exist already.
A law that I can only one law.
It can be selfish or it can be for the better good of mankind, whatever you want, man.
I think it would be mandatory for everyone to get as much knowledge and information as possible for a brain. You know, like the law would be, you need to read and read and read by law. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that is the, knowledge is the biggest currency that exists. So I would make it mandatory for people to just read all the books that ever existed, ever. You have to do it before you die. Doesn't matter how long it takes you.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. You just basically want people to take the time that they have to learn and open their minds.
Yes, 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 yes. That is so important. That's the only way you can break through anything, knowledge.
And with that idea, I wonder if, just out of curiosity, if everybody read everything, would it divide people more because of, you know, I think this, I think this, I think this, or would it unite people more because they all have the same ideas?
Because everybody reads a book and takes from it differently.
Is that a rhetorical question or you want me to answer?
Oh, I'm just curious. That's just a thought.
Just throwing it out there.
That is an interesting thought, yes. Like, would too much knowledge actually be on the opposite side? Like, would it hurt?
Yeah, because if me and him read the same thing and he says this and I'm like, no, it's like this. And he says, no, it's like this. I read the same thing. Who knows? Or we'd be like, yeah, it's like that. We'd read the same thing. Yeah. Who knows?
It seems like the more you get aware of things, the less you are confrontational too. Like, yeah, the more you educate yourself, the less you're trying to just bark and bite at people, from what I've gathered in my 37 years here.
Same. I think the most like the closed-minded people, the people who are like still living within the bubble, are what appeared to me is that they are unaware that more information is available. It's not that they don't even want it. They're even unaware that it exists.
Right.
So, and I think with the world now, with the information age and how we're opening up all of us to each other, you know, you and me, we can just now have a conversation which couldn't be possible 20 years ago, is actually more beneficial because it brings us closer together the more we become aware.
It's like the same concept of like a small town person that's never really left their town.
Yes.
And then somebody who's traveled the world and seen a lot of different cultures and been exposed to stuff. It's that same kind of mindset. Okay, number two, what three words would you choose to describe yourself?
Okay. Curious. Curious. Fearless.
I like that.
And opportunistic.
Those are all great. Your fearless ones ties into our Patreon episode that we're going to do after this episode, where I'm going to try to convince JP to hold our tarantula mascot in our studio.
Absolutely. Good segue.
Oh, man. All right, number three, what do you want to be remembered for?
Okay, so I definitely want to be remembered for the information I bring. Like, I want to write as many books as I can. I also want to, like, this is a very big dream, but if I can have it, which is, if somehow I can reshape the entire school system and the education system, and to stop all the focus of math and science and biology and all that crap that we never use ever, like have that as basis, just like the basic stuff, and then educate people on relationships, love languages, history, empathy, compassion, money, saving, hand skills and stuff like that, that we actually need to become better people. So I think if I can achieve that, then I could just lay my head and die very peacefully. And that, if that's how I'm going to be remembered, then my purpose is done.
Beautiful. Man, I couldn't agree more with you on that education thing. That is awesome.
Yeah, that's
I think so strongly about that too, man. There's so much wasted crap that like myself as a kid, I was lost on it and I gave up on myself. I gave up on the education system.
It's years. It's years worth of stuff that
and prime wasted, time too. Wasted. Like
prime, exactly. Not just years. Yes, it's when you're forming yourself, when you're discovering who you are, and they're telling you, don't think like this. You have to think like we are teaching you, and you have to know this and this and that. And it's I read this somewhere. It's like we are being bred not to become our own self. We are bred to become slaves, basically slaves to the system and workers.
100%. I completely
maintain
agree.
The status quo. Like that's it. Yep. So.
To fit into the society, modern society that
exactly
is all jacked up. Yeah, man, that's so dead on. Number four, what is something that you like that most people don't know about you?
Something that I like about me or about...
Yeah, something that personal with you, some personal interest that you have or hobby, anything that your typical listeners wouldn't know about you that's not shared.
Wouldn't know. I actually like a lot of very lame entertainment, okay, where I use it to kind of like shut my, like wrestling, for example, and like stuff that make my brain shut down and not have to use it so much. Like at the end of the day or after I do a podcast or after I do something, I just need to sit and just like let myself just, you know, like not think for a while. So this is... Yeah, this definitely doesn't apply.
You're basically working your brain out all the time, so it's nice
to
chill by the pool.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I was told, like if someone hears you and doesn't know who you are, like they would think you're, you know, like under, like reading books all the time, and you know, like going here and there and doing that. And like to me, I'm like, I just want to chill at the end of the day. You know, I just want to like relax and something fun. Exactly.
So when you say wrestling, are you talking about like professional entertainment wrestling?
Yeah. Just like WWE and then what have you on TV. That's it. Yeah, nothing more than that.
What are some wrestlers that you like to watch?
Well, I mean, back before it was better, right? Like in the older days than it is now. So you had like the Stone Cold, Triple H, The Rock, Undertaker. That was my childhood.
Rey Mysterio.
It's mine too, man.
Exactly. Yes. The NWO, I see the NWO on your poster right there behind you. So. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a big wrestling fan in the late 90s, early 2000s, the Attitude Era.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, that was a golden time. That's funny.
Which we'll never get back.
Yeah, for sure. I don't watch it anymore, so I don't know any of the modern
people. Yeah, yeah.
I still appreciate it.
Don't watch it. Don't.
All right. Number five. We'll change the terminology on this. If you could do any move off the turnbuckle, what would you use? Are you a 450?
Star press?
No, if you could have any superpower, which would you choose and why?
Go back in time. I'd go back in time and see all those civilizations in time, like in front of me, like see the pyramids being built and see what these people lived and how and everything. Like to me, that is mind blowing. Like I think I maybe one in my past lives I was with them or something, because I've always been so attracted to this stuff, and anything ancient just completely takes me away. Yeah. So definitely time travel. I don't care about the future. It doesn't interest me at all. Like I don't really care. Just want to go back in time, witness everything myself.
You heard that, kids. Screw you.
Let me plant this seed in your mind though, that you can learn about the past, but the future, once you're gone there, you're never going to know.
Damn it. That is true. That's true. Now you're going to make me want to also.
Like, I can learn about the past, but the future, you'll never know. I got to see what goes on in the future. I'm curious.
Imagine going back
that actually
and seeing what you talked about too, how hard that would be like to handle. You'd be like, oh, I got to lay down. This is wow.
This is too much.
Your head would be like, oh, this is so hard to comprehend.
I don't think I'll be able to handle it actually. It's too much. Yeah. But the idea of the future also as well.
What clothes would you wear if you had to time travel? What would you choose to put on to blend in?
No, I'll definitely try to find something there to kind
just
of blend.
Like,
I really want to blend in. Yeah, definitely. I want to blend in 100% and live the life. Like, I want to live with them. So, yeah.
What if you go nude and then you get there and they're like, dude, what are you doing?
Like, what,
you
I thought this is...
I know we wear clothes.
Exactly.
Probably be safer.
I thought this is what we do. Isn't this the thing?
Like, does he have buttons on his clothes? He's a wizard.
Yeah, they would definitely think I'm a wizard or like a magician.
Yeah, right? Some kind of sorceress. Last question, number 6. If you could know the absolute truth on one conspiracy theory, which would you choose?
Aliens and their presence on Earth. It's the easiest answer, and there's nothing else I really care about more than this.
Would you tell
I can think
people?
Of like other stuff. If I knew the truth?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I would. I would scream it. I would like as much as I can try to get it out there. Yeah. To me, it's maybe like one of the most kept secrets, and it's weird enough that there are a lot of like I don't know if you guys know this, but right now, if you go to the CIA website, the official CIA website, and there's a code for a document at the end, it's .pdf. It actually talks about an alien encounter in Russia, and this is there on the website of the CIA. So I believe that it's definitely a thing. It's 100% there. There's definitely something happening with, you know, Area 51 behind you as well. And that to me is the most the biggest thing I want to know, like for sure. I want to see stuff.
What if they said that we can tell you, but we're going to put a chip in your head, and if you tell anyone else, then it'll detonate and you're dead. Would you still want to know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would die instantly. I can't tell
that. Yeah. I mean, like, I would definitely pick my time. Like, you know, I maybe keep it for like a year or two, maybe at least until I spend more time with my son or whatever. You know, I have some stuff to lose. But at some point, yeah, it's worth dying for. So, like, I'm all in. I don't care.
I think I'm with you on that.
You know, you know a lot about alien civilizations. I'd love to do a show on that as well. As, you know, aside from the Anunnaki, which are awesome, obviously, but you seem to know a lot about all these other kinds that would be.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about that a little bit more because, like you said, people know, they know the Greys, they know the Anunnaki. They only know a couple of them, and there's a lot out there.
Yes, there's quite a lot. And, like, for example, I don't know if you know, the Greys are actually, like, it's being theorized that they are a humanoids. I mean, not humanoids, like AI. That were created by the Pleiadians and kind of grew on their own, and they are so curious about life, which is why they are the only ones who do any sort of form of abduction, because they operate in a completely different environment than other alien species. So stuff yeah,
like so. Yeah, exactly. What I want to talk about stuff like that.
That'll be part two with you, man.
That explains the organs and or the like reproductive organs, things like that, because they're AI.
Why did we have to have our testicles on the outside too? Why are we so vulnerable there?
My ovaries?
That
I want my balls tucked and safe.
Question for the ages.
I'm glad to have you in our circle of our network, Sergio. Thanks for reaching out to us, man. Every time we get a new cool person in our library of guests, it's always awesome. It feels like we get more powerful from it. So thank you for being on our show. We're looking forward to doing the next one. Where can our listeners find you and support you?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your show as well. I'm all for anyone trying to do anything about discovering the truth, and so you having that platform for me as well is great. So thank you so much for that and for having me on it. And I have a podcast, it's Paradigm Shift with Sergio Halabi. So if you find it, I'm on every major podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, anything that has, I'm there. I also have an Instagram page. It's paradigm.shift.experience. And on the page, I post more stuff about what I talk about. So there's the podcast as well as other posts that I create with my skills as a designer. So I talk more stuff there as well. So it's paradigm.shift.experience. That will get all the information and everything.
Awesome. Good stuff, man. Yep. Thank you so much for all the information you shared with us. It's good stuff. We're looking forward to learning more about it and having you back on. JP, whoop back. Woo-woo. Have a good one, Sergio. Until next time.
You too.
Bye.
I got a bad feeling about this. millions of